The readings today come from Matthew chapter 13, first verse 31 to 33. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough. From verses 44 to 52. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearl, great value. He went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad ones away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings one out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the word of the Lord.
Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, these series of parables conclude this chapter 13 of Matthew that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. That's been full of parables. And so just as we finish looking at these today, just to, again, just set the context a little bit of what these parables, where they are set in Matthew 13. Chapter 11 and 12 of Matthew is there's this, the opposition or the resistance to Jesus is starting to build, and in a variety of ways, it's starting to happen. And so chapter 13 is this series of parables that Jesus tells about the kingdom of God. And they're all gathered together in this one place in chapter 13. And so Jesus tells these in response to the growing rejection of him. And so, for example, in verse 14, there's this prophecy of Isaiah. There's a reference back to the prophet Isaiah. There'll be those who do not see. They will hear but will not understand. They will see and not see. There's all this kind of thing about some will get it and some won't. And even though a couple of weeks ago, I talked about how Jesus uses the very common things of life to explain things about the kingdom, there's still this reality that some people get it and some people don't as they listen to the parables, that they can be quite confusing, that there's things hidden within them. And for some, there's this mystery remains that for some people, it's as if God says, well, now is the time that is the time of the good soil, that the seed is planted, for example, in that first parable. So there's still a mystery that remains here about those who see and those who hear and those who still don't understand. And curiously, the disciples at the end say that they do understand, but clearly what follows in Matthew's gospel is that sometimes they do, but most often they don't. So these are a series of parables on the kingdom of God. For example, the parable of the sower, the very first one, answers the question that if Jesus is the Son of God, as is being revealed in Matthew, why is it that everyone's not on board with that? Why is there this growing rejection? And the parable of sower is about that, is that the seed is planted in all sorts of places, but it's only the good soil that it grows. So the issue is not with what God is doing. God is planting the good seed. The kingdom of God is good. It's the hard hearts, or that it's where the seed is landing that is the issue. So these chapter 13 parables are depicting what the kingdom of God, that is the rule and the reign of God brought by Jesus, is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. The kingdom of heaven is like. We've heard the sower, the weeds, and today there's these five short, very succinct parables that I simply want to touch on in various ways. The mustard seed, the leaven, the treasure in a field, the pearl of great price, and the dragnet. And want to again just draw on a little bit of your expertise and experience, particularly in the first two. I think that as I thought about this during the week, that across these five parables, most of us can relate to at least one of them in some way. Again, gardening or farming, there's baking, there's jewelry, there's treasure in fields, there's fishing, all kind of ways. I suspect that pretty much every one of us can relate to something of these five parables. The mustard seed. Gardeners, what's the smallest seed that you have ever seen or planted? Cabbage, sorry? Poppy. Oh, poppy. That didn't sound like cabbage at all, did it? Better get my other hearing aid out. Poppy seeds, they are tiny, aren't they? Yes. Okay. Other ones? Lettuce seeds, yes, okay. Carrot. Very tiny seeds, yes. Red gum. Okay, excellent. Thank you. Gums. And of course, Jesus here uses the scent. Did I send those things through to you, Wendy? I can't remember. Any slides at all? No, that's okay. That's not crucial. That's fine. And of course, mustard seeds are very tiny, but probably back in Jesus' day, mustard bushes are a little bit different than what we have, but there is a sense that this tiny little seed grows into a quite a big shrub, large enough for birds to nest in. So the encouragement here is that the reign of God may seem really weak and small, no more than a tiny, insignificant little seed. But the encouragement is, don't be deceived by the humble beginnings of the kingdom of God. And certainly if we think about the life of the early church and Jesus himself, born in this little out-of-the-way place in Bethlehem, then there's 12 people that gather around him, and then there's a wider circle of people. And then on the day of Pentecost, there's 120, which becomes 3,000. And so it continues to grow and grow and grow. The point of it is that the kingdom of God starts from the smallest beginnings, but no one knows where it will end. That many nations will be gathered, the idea of the birds nesting, many nations will be gathered into it. William Barclay tells the story of a group of young Christians discussing how best to spread Christian faith. And amongst their group was a girl from Africa who said that when we want to take Christianity to one of our villages, we don't send them books. We take a Christian family and send them to live in the village. And they Christian by their living presence there. And that's not a bad example for some of the other parables in this passage, in this chapter as well. Small beginnings, mustard seed. Jesus talks about it, the leaven. Okay, bakers out there, tell me a bit about leaven. Is leaven the same as yeast? I think it is, isn't it? Okay. For example, What is leaven used for? Bread? What does it do to the bread? Okay. What happens if you don't use leaven? Flatbread. Okay. Oh dear. And what do you need to do? How do you use leaven? So by putting it in warm water, okay. Yeah. And you mix it through the dough. Okay. You knead it. Okay. How easy is it to remove the leaven? Is that possible? Okay. So all of these things, bring all of these things when you read this parable. Okay. And because this is, as Jesus talked about leaven, it would have been clearly identifiable by everyone that was listening. Three measures of flour, it talks about three measures of flour. That's probably enough for a large family, okay? So this was just a straightforward, everyday occurrence for people who are listening to this. And for back in this day, it was a piece of fermented dough that would have been left over from the previous baking that would have been worked into this new lot of flour. Now, one of the intriguing things here is that throughout Jewish history and language, and as we read the Old Testament, and even in the New Testament, leaven is a negative thing. It was used as a negative thing. So it's used as it's identified as an evil thing. It's a corrupting thing. And that's one of the reasons that in the Passover, they had to get rid of every scrap of leaven, had to remove it all, because it was seen as this evil thing, this corrupting thing, and you need to get rid of it for Passover. And it's fascinating here that Jesus takes that and says, well, the kingdom of God is like leaven. It's actually, and use it as a positive thing. And this would have been a bit of a shock to the people who heard it. To say, for Jesus to say that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. But he uses it, he twists, puts it on its head, as Jesus often did. And for the same reasons that a lot of you have just mentioned, he says the kingdom of heaven is like this. The whole point of the parable is about the transforming power of the leaven, the transforming power of the kingdom of God. Leaven changed the whole character of the flour or the loaf. Okay, and as you said, if you don't have any leaven, it's flat bread, a little bit dry, not particularly flavoursome, but to add the leaven, it changes the character of it, becomes this soft, a bit more porous, and a little bit more flavour. The dough, the flour, is transformed. The coming of the kingdom of God brings a transformation across all of life. And just as you can't remove the leaven, such is the impact of the kingdom of God. Because leaven works silently, internally, but comprehensively across everything. Jesus goes on to tell two similar parables, and yet they're different. The treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. The common ground amongst both of these parables is that when the treasure or pearl is found, the one who found it sells everything and buys it. And again, Jesus here is talking about the demands or the costliness of discipleship, of following in the kingdom of God. So the common ground is that what's found, when it's found, the person sells everything and buys it. What the difference is that for the person who with the treasure in the field is probably a worker who stumbles across it, has no idea it's there, Whereas the pearl of great price, he says it's like a pearl merchant who is actually searching for the one great pearl. So they're quite two different backgrounds and circumstances, but for both, the object found becomes the overriding focus that crowds everything else out, becomes the sole focus. The kingdom of God is like someone who found a treasure in a field or a pearl of great price. Do you know, the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says this, "But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. For what is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish." The King James says dung. "I consider them dung," but we won't say dung this morning, we'll say rubbish. "I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him." So Paul's saying that everything that I've known before I now count as rubbish because I've gained Christ. It's this same sense in this parable. The field worker and the pearl merchant, their discovery takes precedence over being cautious, takes precedence over being of some self-restraint. There would be some who would say that their actions were quite risky and a bit impulsive. But their discovery takes precedence over all of that. Living in the kingdom of God, discipleship, will reshape our priorities and what we see as important. And it results in this single-mindedness in our following of Christ. Just as the Apostle Paul says. But if we take that a little bit further, both of these, particularly the treasure in the field, and we step back a bit, we can discover that this is actually a picture of Jesus himself, that we are the treasure in the field, and that Jesus is the one who searches and finds us and gives up everything so that we would be his. Again, Paul in Philippians 2 talks about that. Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. He gave up everything that he had for us, that we indeed, as the treasure of God, would be his. Jesus comes and gives his all to redeem us, gives up all to buy us his greatest treasure. The net, the dragnet. And again, for those of you who kind of done the fishing, this is different than throwing a line in. This is a net which captures everything, and they haul it onto the beach or wherever it is, and everything's in there. And then there's a bit of sorting out that needs to happen. And this parable, it's a bit of a contrast to the other ones. It's a bit more like the parable of the weeds, okay? Because our thoughts are directed towards the unveiling of things at the end of time. And there's one thing about these parables in chapter 13 is that it's hard to see how we can read chapter 13 with these parables, particularly the one of the net and also that of the weeds, and not conclude that Jesus clearly spoke of there will come a time when there's a separation that happens. It's pretty hard to read chapter 13 and not come to that conclusion, that there's a separation of that which is evil to that which is righteous in the best use of that word. That evil will be separated and will be punished. Evil will have to account for what it's done. Okay. And that, so Charles Cusser, for example, in his in commenting on it, says this, the parabolic depiction of the final judgment adds a dimension to the understanding of discipleship. The discovery of treasures and pearls is not a trivial pursuit. It carries ultimate significance. Selling all one has and buying the desired objects are not just admirable options, they have eternal consequences. The kingdom of God is like a net, Jesus says. Again, a very common thing, and that everyone would have been able to relate to. Finally, the chapter concludes with what really is another parable about these old gifts and new gifts. That it's like his householder who brings out from his storehouse things that are both old and new. Jesus says it's like this scribe who understands what these things are. And I think in many ways it's talking about that, particularly for those who are listening and the disciples, they knew of the scriptures, they knew of the Old Testament, the Hebrew scriptures, the commandments and all those things. And certainly the Apostle Paul again had this deep knowledge of the Hebrew scriptures, but when of the old, but then the new, in the sense of Jesus coming, the lights come on for him. And indeed for the followers of Jesus, there's both the Hebrew scriptures, the old ways, but then there's the new that come together to complete that understanding. This is Matthew chapter 13. Of all these parables. And, as I was preparing for this, I was thinking, okay, do I focus on one or two of these, or let's just look at all? So I decided just to try and pick up on a few, on each of them. And I just encourage you to be able, during the week, to reflect a little bit more about each of these parables in the light of the kingdom of... But sometimes you stumble across things, and this is that Jesus is saying that when you stumble across something... the kingdom of God is like this. There are those who unexpectedly find the kingdom of God. There are those who, like the pearl merchant, are searching and searching for some deeper truth in their life. And they find it. But both things happen for us. Both things happen. For those who seek, they find. But sometimes it's when we're not searching, when we're not looking, that truth sneaks in and we make this amazing discovery of what God is telling us, of what God wants of us and what the kingdom of God is like. We pray. Lord our God, we think back over this chapter 13 and there's just so much that goes on in this chapter of parable after parable. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us as we continue to reflect upon these things, that what it is about one of these parables that connects with us and that you want us to learn about life in following Jesus today, now, and what you are calling us to. So continue to help us to understand about your ways in and through the name of Christ. Amen.